All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 13s, review, circles of time, thus far. So far we've looked at the solar day, which is one complete revolution of the earth spinning on its axis. We've looked at what a week is. Obviously, most people know that is 7 days. We've looked at the lunar month, which is one complete lunation, or from new moon to new moon. Some say from full moon to full moon, but anyways. A lunar year, 12 revolutions of the moon around the earth in 354.367 days. The solar year, which everybody knows is one complete revolution of the earth around the sun in 365.2424 days. And then there is the week of years. We talked a lot about that in our last study, last couple studies, I think, equal the 7 years or 2520 days. And that number 2520 is sure is an interesting number in numerology as well as astronomy and the Bible. We looked at what's called the Saros a number of weeks ago. It is a pattern of eclipses repeating approximately every 18 years. And the word Saros itself actually in gematria equals 666. So keep in mind when we're looking at these numbers here, the whole purpose of this study and why we're looking at numerics in the first place is because we want to understand how to calculate the number 666. Because again, like we've discussed, 666 in itself is not where the wisdom is. It's the factors of it. All of the moving parts that make up 666 so we can understand why the beast uses it. And we're going to find out that all of these times are somehow related to that number. So here we go, moving on. The life of Christ was a solely lunar cycle of 33.6 years. Then there's the Jubilee. We haven't talked a lot about that in this series, but that happens every 50th year after every seven sevens. Then there's the Great Eclipse Cycle, 651 years. There's the Great Month of 2,160 years. There's the Great Year, where the sun moves backwards through the zodiac approximately every 25,920 years. So, you know, and there's a lot more to come. So what I wanted to kind of do was just step back and look at what we've covered thus far as cycles of time is concerned. Because Christ says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, it appears as though Satan is going to try and say he has all of these patterns of time as well. Because if you think about it, whoever the creator is, whoever God is, it means he's above space and time. He is the Almighty. And again, that's what Satan is trying to claim. So all of these numbers that we're getting into in astronomy, these are found in the Bible, on the surface and under the surface in what's called gematria. And, you know, we haven't even covered, I don't know how many studies we're going to do on this. If we got to go back through the alphabet as far as Revelation 13, A, B, C, D, all the way to Z and then back through, we'll do it. I'm going to stop the study when I feel that the Spirit has released me from it because we've really only laid a foundation thus far. And then as we get towards the end of this series of studies, like I said, it could be in two studies. It could be 10, 20 from now. I don't know yet. But when we get to the end of that, I'd like to be able to make a 1 to 2 hour documentary at some point where we condense everything together and hopefully come to some concrete solutions to the equation 666. But I want to do it in a way that we can even reach some of the beginners in this and get them curious about digging in deeper into God's Word. But, you know, that study that we're going to do that will sum it up by no means will replace all of these studies that we're doing thus far. But it'll kind of be kind of a, for some of you, hopefully it'll be like a capstone to all of these facts and stuff, and just kind of tie them all together and come to some conclusions. Anyways, so we're going to get into a lot more cycles of time, at least a few more different cycles of time that are very meaningful. But have you ever thought about why we have 60 seconds in an hour? Why there are 60 minutes in an hour? 24 hours in a day divided by 2, or 2 times 12? Well, again, it's all connected to astronomical cycles of time and their numbers. Their numbers. And I'm telling you this, some of the things that we're going to get into are really going to blow your mind. They're just fascinating. And let's move on. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And we just ask for wisdom and understanding from our Father as we try to be obedient into understanding His Word, His plan, and what He'd have us do. Anyways, Genesis 1, verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." So, we basically summed up a little bit about different cycles that we've observed thus far. And I've talked about how we're going to look into some more of them, but you might be wondering, why are we going into such great depth on this? Well, I'm going to state it again, because the great conspiracy of 666 and of Satan and the beast has to do with the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the numbers related to them. Think about that for a minute. You know, this is just one quick example. The word Saros, is the same, is where Osiris came from, that pagan god here. Here he is, the father of the evil trinity. Osiris, Isis, and Horus. Okay, these are the symbol of the Horus is the symbol of the ultimate serpent seed, the beast of Revelation 13. That's who he represents. And Isis, probably Mystery Babylon, or some maybe even think it's the false prophet, but I think it's Mystery Babylon. Anyways, I'm not going to get into the details on that. What I want to say is that Osiris was named after the 666 Saros cycle. So, in paganism, what we see is that a lot of these false gods, many of them, most of them actually, and we're going to do a study, we're going to make a list of them, Lord willing, their gematrias add up to 666, along with Osiris. But you're going to find out there's also different pagan gods that have the number 360, 651, and all kinds of other numbers that are equivalent to astronomic cycles of time. What in the world's going on here? Why are they doing that? And us, you know, and our quest in trying to figure that out is going to strengthen us. It's going to make us more prepared for battle. It's going to sharpen our sword so that we can discern between lies and falsehoods, between deception and truth. Because I tell you what, there are some things that are difficult for some people to understand. Like, you know, we look at the founding of America. We see the number 13. We see a pyramid. Now, is that always bad? The evil side uses the number 13 and they use pyramids and stuff like that. But does that mean America's founding was evil? There were always the tares among the wheat. There's always the dirty birds that lodge into the branches of the kingdom. But those are some things that we'll be able to better answer as we go through this series on numerology, astronomy, geometry, because this is all connected to heavenly worship in one way or the other, either towards the worship of the Creator or the worship of the imposter, who has set up his own system, has stolen God's numbers, his astronomy, and lays claim to them as his own. So just because you see a pyramid or the number 13 or the number 1776 or some other thing, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is evil. It doesn't necessarily mean that it is good. You have to figure out who's using it and why. Let me say that again. Symbols in themselves are not evil, like the Christian cross, for example. That's a cross that's been in the ancient Hebrew. It's in the cycles of time. There are crosses made, and I'm not going to get into that today. But that the pagans have stolen it, they've used the cross. But the cross is a mighty symbol of the balances of justice. And that price that Christ paid on the cross for us as believers balances, sets us free. It says that he paid the price already. The balance or the price, again, I'll say it again, the balance is equaled out because of the price he paid. Therefore, we don't owe anything. Satan does not have claim upon our souls. So you see, the bad side, even the Egyptians and others, the pagans, they've used the cross to try to steal it as though they are the ones with the measures of justice and balance and so forth. So this is a study. That's why God said, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding calculate the number of the beast. It's a challenge for the wise. Because fools, I'm going to say this, and all of us have been there at time making foolish decisions. We get a little bit of truth and we run wild with it, because we can't see the big picture. Well, calculating this number, factoring it out, gives you the big picture, my friends. It's that important. It is that important. I know some will accuse us of spending too much time on something like this. I don't care. Because as I go through it, I start seeing everything open up to me. History, mathematics, astronomy, different things in the Bible that were always there, that all of a sudden I'm like, well, that's why we went from 12 disciples to 13 disciples, or from 12 to 11, and then up to 12 and 13, these different cycles of oscillation going on there. You had the 12 tribes, the different orders, they've changed throughout time. That's not by accident. Those are represented in the heavens. You've had the 12 tribes go to 13 by the reduplication or the bisection of Joseph into Ephraim and Manasseh. Those things, I'm going to say that again, all of those things that you see in the Bible are represented in the heavens. I'm not talking about pagan astrology or anything like that. But the stars of heaven do represent the children of God in their courses. Anyways, here we go. Here's another example of this conflict going on in the heavens. And his Revelation 12, verse 4, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. What's going on here? There's a war going on of Satan trying to claim the third part of the stars of heaven. He's trying to claim it all, but he actually drew a third of them. Now, we can look at this many different ways, but what you can see here is there is a war going on over the stars. Again, that's why you see paganism. Always making these monuments, these pyramids, and everything that point to the stars. And astronomical cycles of time, they're trying to claim the heavens as their own. Do I fully understand that yet? No, I don't, but I'm starting to see a pattern that's quite interesting. And it grows and it grows the more and more I study this, along with the rest of the Bible. Moving on, and there was war in heaven. There it is again, Revelation 12, verse 7. So heaven is definitely the heavens, the stars, the galaxies. All those movements up there have meaning. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels. All right, another example where the heavens are tied. In astronomy, I should say, is important part of the Bible and God's plan. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now, Lucifer means the bright morning star, in opposition to Christ. The true Christ is the bright morning star. So there's a true one and a false one. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Stars of God. There you see it again. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And this, my friends, is, I think, the key to what we are looking at when we're trying to factor out the number 666, or where we find it in astronomy and so forth, is Satan is using numerology in an attempt to place him above the heights of the clouds to be like the Most High. Because just like Jesus Christ is called the Malachi, he is called the S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. Satan wants to be, you know, pagans have made a pagan sun god that isn't Jesus Christ. The sun just is a representation of Christ, a physical representation of that life-giving force. Everything revolves around it. We all move around it. Every day, you know, we depend upon it. And now we're starting to see the picture of why. And, you can even get into the numerics of the distance of the sun and how it relates. We haven't done that yet, but we're going to do that. The distance in diameter of the sun relates to the name of Jesus Christ. In gematria. And I believe when we get down towards the very end here, we're going to start seeing these things out in the open a lot more. Where even what Mystery Babylon is. Mystery Babylon is an attempt by Satan to join heaven and earth together. And that's why you saw all those pyramids and false religions pointing to the stars, having sun gods and star gods and all these gods. They're trying to bring heaven to the earth. Well, you know what? That can only happen one way. And that's through our Lord Jesus Christ, the true mediator, that true balancer. And it will not happen until the union of New Jerusalem with earth. That's when it comes. So Mystery Babylon, you know, she's called a city and all that, is man's attempt or Satan's attempt to bring heaven on earth, while the real heaven on earth will come when New Jerusalem, not made with men's hands, will descend upon earth out of the clouds. So there you have it. That's why there is this obsession with paganism to claim dominance over the stars. It's called astrotheology. But I'm going to say it again. We must be careful not to concede astronomy to the enemy. Because many Christians have done that. Oh, we don't touch the stars. That's astrology. Oh! Because the Bible points to the stars too. Abraham was told, well, right away in Genesis 1 verse 14, we were told what the stars were for. Right in the beginning, we were told to look up and use them as a guide for time and for signs and for seasons, days and years. But Abraham was told to look up to the stars when God said this is how many his descendants would be. Therefore, the stars represent the children of Abraham. Jesus Christ was announced by his birth, was announced by a star. The sun was blocked out during his crucifixion. And on the list goes. So there's something, again, there is something going on here with astronomy and numerology that we need to pay close attention to. Anything the enemy is trying to claim that focuses itself around should get you to wonder, well, why are they doing that? And I believe it all boils down to this. I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. You know, that almost is, that's saying that he is the Alpha and the Omega. That's Satan's claim there. Because Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, is a claim to say he's over and above time and space. That position only belongs to God. All right, let's get into this. I thought this was going to be a short review, but we're already 24 minutes into it. Well, I hope you're enjoying some of this anyways. Let's get into this. You know, we notice here that the stars are not, just from this verse, the stars are not just for days and for years, though they are for that. They are also for signs and seasons. Now, that's not just talking about spring, summer, fall, and winter, but it's also referring to longer periods of time. I'm going to read this from page 178 to 181 of Witness of the Stars. If you haven't gotten this book yet, I mean, it's a foundational book. You can even teach your kids the Bible with it by showing them the star pictures. I mean, that's how simple it is when you, I mean, on that level. But anyways, he says here, the motions of the sun and moon are so arranged that at the end of a given interval of time, they return into almost precisely the same position with regard to each other and to the earth as they held at the beginning of that interval. Almost precisely, but not quite precisely. There will be a slight outstanding difference, which will gradually increase in successive intervals, and finally destroy the possibility of the combination reoccurring, or else lead to different combinations of a different character. That's what we're talking about when we're looking at time, is it's the sun and the moon aren't precise. That's why you wonder, well, how come there's 365.2424 days in a solar year and so forth? Well, because that difference now makes different periods of time. And I know some of you might be wondering, well, I've heard you talk about the 360-day perfect prophetic year. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit here. That's something I'm currently working on, and it's a work in progress. The more we study, the more we see. That's study with prayer and knocking on our Father's door. Anyways, so basically, I'll put it this way. Every year, some of us who have, some of you have been around even longer than I have. I've been on this earth about 40 years. And I've seen the different seasons over and over and over again. And everything seems the same. It's like, hey, when you get back to summer, you look, the sun's in the same position, we think, as far as how we observe it. And it's like it just repeats over and over and over again. But you know what? Because of those differences in time, in the cycles, every day we are in a new position in time and space. Do you think about that for a minute? Just because summer comes back around, that's a different, shorter period of time. But in the longer periods of time, we are in a totally new era. I mean, if you think about the speed that the Earth is spinning around the sun. I don't remember the exact speed, but it's fast. But take this into account. How fast is our solar system moving its orbit in our own galaxy? And then think about this. How fast is our galaxy moving around the universe? See, we are always moving. We're never going back to the same exact spot, though it'll feel like a similar season. It's always new, and it's just like God to do that. He's always creating something new. But there's also, in our lesson of the different seasons that we see, there's a lesson that we see over and over again. Life, creation of life, death, and rejuvenation or resurrection. By that I mean, okay, in the spring you see the new life, you see everything come back to alive, but then you get to the fall and you know everything starts dying out. And then through winter it's dead. And in the spring, what does everything do? The trees start budding, the grass gets green again, and everything comes back to life. We see that lesson over and over again. And it's an important one because it's one that paganism claims. They try to claim that they have the power of resurrection, when it is Almighty God that does. And He is the one that's in control of the seasons. He is the death and the resurrection. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And He gives us lesson after lesson to see it in nature, as well as astronomy. All right, so we'll get back to these times here. Solar year, 365.24 days, that's what it takes for the Earth to make one complete revolution around the sun. Lunar year, 354.367 days. That's 12 revolutions of the moon around the earth. The zodiac year, prophetic year, equals 360 degrees or 360 days is what we find in the Bible. You could call, I'm going to say this again. You guys have heard me say this many times. All prophetic times in Daniel and Revelation are based off of a 360-day year. And this is a great mystery. There are two theories to the reason. One is that the orbits of the sun and the earth and the moon were such that every month equaled exactly 30 days, equal to the number of degrees that the sun travels through the heavens. Now that is one that I've held to and have taught that, you know, it must have been that way. But there is another possibility. And the reason why I taught that is because if you go to the book of Genesis, you'll find out that there was a five-month period mentioned there that was equal to 150 days. And we've got a study titled The Perfect Prophetic Year. You can go to that. We did that a number of months ago. But basically, what that says is that every month, 150 days divided by 5 is 30. So that tells me, or it told me, that there are 30 days to every month. And that a whole year is 360 days. But there's something kind of unique. There's something odd that has been going on. And my supposition before was that during the time of Hezekiah, and I'm not saying that it was wrong. I'm just saying we need to always explore other ways as well, other options. But if there was a perfect 360-day lunisolar year, that may have been changed during the time of Hezekiah, because history says that calendars went from 360 days to other different amounts of days after that, more than that. But the other option is that there were intercalculatory days added at the end of the year. And it must have, some people think they were added at different intervals throughout the year. But I believe, from our example in Genesis chapter, 5, where the time that Noah was on the ark, if there were any intercalculatory days added, they would have had to have been after the 5 months there that were given. So in other words, what could have happened, and when they say the Egyptians did this, is they would take 360 days, represented the year. It was their sacred year. It was the special number in numerology, as we find out it is in the Bible as well. But then they would just add, in order to keep the solar alignment, the solar year in alignment, they would add 5 days to that, approximately. Now I'm keeping that open as an option because of some things I'm going to show you here in the coming studies. But anyways, moving on. So 7 times 360, the prophetic years of Genesis, Daniel, and Revelation equal 2520 days. So basically 7 360s are 7 circles, 7 complete revolutions. And that gives you this geometric figure here. We talked about that. And here, just so you get we looked at this before, but I'm going to do it again so we can kind of understand the basics of time. You see the sun, you see the dates down here moving day by day. The sun is moving throughout the zodiac. And then you see every so often here, every month approximately, you see the moon whipping around. So the moon's making its 12 times around, while the sun is taking one time to go through each sign of the zodiac here. See, it's moving through Taurus. Now it's going to go down to Gemini. And by the way, there's a reason why there's two. A couple of these signs have two objects instead of one, as far as for numerics goes. And that's when we're talking about the addition of from 12 to 13 and even from 13 to 14. That's something we'll get into at a later time. But that's where you see the basics of it. You see the sun, this is time here. It's big wheels of time moving. All right, just keeps going. We'll finish this video out to the end. All right. You can get this program online for free. I think it works with both a PC and a Mac. It's called Stellarium. And it's an awesome tool to learn astronomy in biblical time. All right. We also went over something called the Saros Cycle. So basically, this is a particular eclipse here, Saros Cycle 136. And it's a repeating pattern. By that, I mean, okay, you see an eclipse here in 2117, September 26. Well, 18 years later, you will see this eclipse in 2135 on October 7th. See, not the same date. But it's the same eclipse, and then it happens again 18 years later. But it doesn't happen at the same date or location. It's approximately, approximately 10 days or so. Yeah, approximately 10 days it moves throughout the sky. But I'll show that one in a minute. Actually, I'll go to that and I'll come back. But there is something interesting. After 651 years, that same eclipse that you saw, let's just say you saw it right here in the sign of Capricorn. Every 18 years, each one of these segments of the pie here equals 18 years or 10 degrees. It moves. It moves throughout. So that same eclipse, after 651 years, will be around at the same location at the same time. That's how you come up with this 651 grand eclipse cycle of years. But as you see here, some other numerics pop up there. Well, the 2520 comes up. You see, there's all these ratios of these same numbers that we've been seeing over and over again. And they mean something. The same eclipse, okay, so this is the same eclipse happens every 18 years. Okay, that's the Saros cycle. For a total of 30, now check this out, I didn't go over this in our last study that we did on this. For a total of 36 times in 651 years. 36 is the number of the constellations in the heavens. Think about that for a minute. All these numbers keep popping up in ratios. 2520, the 7360s, and then you have the 18 that always pops up, the number 10, but then you have 36. That tells you it's a perfect cycle. 651 years is because it makes it through each sign or constellation of the heavens, as well as through each sign of the zodiac. Amazing. There's also the pagan god called Mithras, that his gematria adds up to 651. Go figure, right? All right, then we talked about the most perfect solely lunar cycle known is 33 years, 7 months, or 7 days, which was, as many scholars attempt to prove, the life of Jesus Christ. In other words, 2520 divided by 33.6 years, here it is right here, This is a breakdown of that. 2520 divided by 33.6 equals 75. So in other words, there are 75 of these perfect solely lunar cycles in a period of 2520 years. That's amazing. Why is that? I mean, here you go. I got it broken down here. So the cycle goes like this. Actually, I got the numbers backwards, but you get the point. Let's just say one was here. You go all the way here back to 75. Each one of these segments between 75 and 4, or I'll just do it this way, between 1 and 2, these are the lifetimes of Christ, or that solely lunar cycle that represents his lifetime. Now, that's quite interesting because, now, don't get solely lunar cycles, and I did this before, when I was studying the computation of 666, that book I've been talking about a lot lately. I got the solely lunar cycles mixed up with the eclipse cycles. Now, solely lunar cycles have to do with the timing of the lunar and the solar year coming in sync with one another. Okay, so it doesn't have anything to do with the eclipses. The eclipse cycles are something different, though they are obviously related. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, 7 years equals 2520 days, which if you divide that in half, you see the familiar 1260 days from the book of Revelation. But then you add 75 to that, as we see represented in the 651 grand cycle. It just so happens that in the book of Daniel, you have something called the 1335 days that the saints were supposed to make it to. And that gives you 1260 plus 75 to give you 1335. But you could also say it like this. It's 2520 plus 75. That is so interesting, especially since it's all related to the life of Christ. I mean, Christ was the overcomer. He overcame for us. To set the example for us, we overcome by his blood. All this stuff, it just blows my mind. And some people might be thinking about these ratios and these numbers as almost seeming bizarre or possibly hand-selected. But you know what? They repeat over and over again, and they're seen everywhere. I've said this before, the truth is all around us. It's in astronomy, it's in nature, it's in God's word, number one. But if you don't have that, you at least have it in nature and in life. So the truth is all around us, but it is seldomly found. And that's too bad. All right, we talked about the great year. This one's pretty fascinating. Approximately 25,920 years is what it takes for the sun to move backwards through the zodiac every year. So, and we found out a great month, as you see here, if we divide that up, is 2,160 years. Now, the diameter of the moon is 2,160 miles. You think that's an accident? The moon represents months? Not at all. Then you even have the number 30, the 30 degrees here. I mean, it's just amazing. And then we talked about this, the perfect prophetic 360-day lunisolar year. During the days of Noah, the year consisted of 12 30-day months. Genesis chapter 7 through 8. I think I said Genesis chapter 5. I was off there. But anyways, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, the first option is that the orbits of the sun, moon, and the earth will be in an alignment that would give us 30 days every moon for 12 moons to equal 360 days. And that is a possibility. But the other possibility is that there was this 360-day year mentioned but that they added days to it to make things come in sync, called intercalculatory days. And at the end of the study, I got a slide that I'll introduce that to you. There's other ways of putting this in sync today. There's a 13th month added by some, and so on, which you know, that's not totally out of the question. 13, going from 12 to 13 is something that happens in biblical numerics. And it's a very interesting phenomena. All right. Anyways, here we go. I'll reread this. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So he, like I've said before, he's describing himself phonetically, numerically, and geometrically. He's above all these. He's all of these. But in addition to that, he's even expressed himself astronomically, as well as in time and space, because he's above time and space. And now it starts to get interesting, where Satan says, I want to be like the Most High. And now we start to see why astral theology has come about in paganism, because if Satan wants to claim to be God, he's got to steal astronomy. He's got to make it represent him, because he's trying to say that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is above all time and space, the creator, in other words. And we're going to see more of that in the coming future. There's coming a time where they're going to make an image to the beast. And that's going to be Satan's greatest seeming accomplishment to the world of creating life on earth. And it was his promise to Eve way back in the Garden of Eden that through him would come life. I cannot wait to get into that topic with you guys. Hey, again, this was supposed to be a short review, and I'm already at like 48 minutes. Moving on. All right, so we've been factoring out the number 666. We start seeing all these numbers. I'm not going to go into this because we're going long in time. The Saros cycle equals 666. We're going to get into this part of that, the 660 months. The Mayan calendar is interesting. People have talked a lot about that. That revolves around longer cycles of time. See, pagans know about these things. Then we talked about long ago the magic square of the sun, so-called. It's on this pagan amulet, but it's not. It wasn't originated by the pagans. It's originated by creation. 6x6 square. 6x6 equals. Now, why I'm showing you this is because this is called the magic square of the sun. It is the numerology that relates to the sun and its movement through the heavens, through all 36 signs, or 36 constellations, as well as through the 12 signs of the zodiac. I'm just going through these briefly here. I just want to show you one addition to that. The sum of all these 36 numbers, 1 through 36, that are placed here, equals 666. You've seen that. There it is. What makes 1 through 30, why 1 through 36? What makes 36 a significant number? Well, there are 36 constellations. And here we see the magic square. If you add it up, all the rows and columns add up to 111, which all equal to 666. But there's 777 and 888 in there. We're going to see that. We haven't talked a lot about that in our cycles of astronomy yet. We're going to get into that. Numerology, zeros are often added or dropped, therefore 36 can equal 360. Interesting. Now, remember that magic square that we saw? It was 6x6? Well, here it is. I'd actually just bought these a couple months ago. Here it is represented in 3D by these round magnets. marble magnets. And it's really interesting because a 6x6 square here, called the magic square, I don't like to use that word again, but that's what people call it. In 3D, it becomes 216. We did a whole study on that, 216. That's actually even the number of the moon. So you see there's a relationship between the sun and the moon in numerics. I mean, this is fascinating. This is the kind of stuff, if you got children and you're homeschooling them, get them learning geometry and biblical numerics and astronomy, because everything is built off of that. Whether they're going to get into computer programming or coding and stuff like that, this is the kind of knowledge that they need. Biblical geometry, numerology, gematria. This is where all of the secrets lie, even as far as technology goes. It's all there. This one is actually my own. I did this here myself. Actually, I got one of those. By the end of the study, I'm gonna go to our website and show you a couple things. We even have a link to that on our website if it's something that you want to get for yourself or for your children to learn how to enumerate by pebbles, worn smooth, by round pebbles. Anyways, so factor the number 216. We did that, and that's what that cube mentioned. Cube was there. Not gonna go into any of that because we're running out of time. This is the slide I wanted to get to. And what's very interesting, Noah was the sum of the perimeter of this square of the sun, numerical square of the sun, equals 370. I mean, this thing did all kinds. There's all kinds of numeric values in this thing that we've gone over. We got part one and part two called the magic square of the sun. Do those if you haven't done it yet. But anyways, if you add up all the numbers around the perimeter, it equals 370. Well, that was the number of days that Noah was on the ark. Now, what's fascinating is when you look at Noah on the ark, it actually represents many different cycles, if not all, of the cycles of time and events within his lifetime and the things he did. And it's so much that I cannot even explain it to you right now. But I'll put it this way. There may be an addition of 5 on each side of 360 to give you 370 called intercalculatory days. And we'll look into a little bit about that. It's a different kind of year called, some call it the deluge year or the year of Noah. And I hate to go too much into the details of that, but I'm just going to tell you, some of this stuff is just profound. And remember, when it came to numbers in the Bible, as far as prophecy is concerned, Daniel did not understand it. That man who understood dreams and visions and stuff like that, he did not understand it. He was perplexed. Some of you might be feeling a little bit perplexed as we go through some of these numbers. But those of you who are going to endure until the end of these series of studies and not think, well, this is too much time on numbers, I think there's a chance we might be able to achieve what God said could not be achieved before. As far as he who has wisdom, or he said, go thy way, Daniel. You're not going to understand the 2300 days, the 1335, the 1260, the time times and a half a time, the 2520. You're not going to understand any of that stuff. But the wise, in the end, shall understand. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say perhaps. It said they shall understand. Well, they're going to understand by studying. And that's what's called, that's why it's called the wise. Someone who is educated. It's not just something that you have eyes to see on. And God does give us eyes to see on many topics. One of them, for example, when I heard the serpent seed being taught, the mystery of the tares, it just made sense. Boom, I knew it. I understood it. I couldn't document it from many different angles, but I knew it was the truth when I heard it. It's different with these numbers. You have to learn this skill if you want to be among the wise. That's why God says it takes wisdom and knowledge to calculate these equations. Anyways, and you're also going to find out that paganism has stolen a lot of things from Noah and perverted them, like the fish god Dagon, symbolic of Noah, because he was on the ark for that year and then he came out. It's just mind-boggling how much truth has been hidden from us. Anyways, I'm going to go to our website real quick, and I'm going to show you something here. If you go to our main page, you'll see here our tabs here at the top at ChristianOvercomers.com. But you'll see here something that says books and Bible study tools. Click on that. And you'll see here we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 free books here. Okay, I didn't put 13 there for any significance. It's just the way it came out so far. But the newest one here that I've been quoting from a lot is called The Computation of 666. Download that. If you haven't already, download it. It's free. You can, I mean, it was a book published in 1891, I think. And it's profound. And it'll definitely give you a deeper understanding of our Father's Word. But then there's this other one that I found that he quotes from, and this is called All Past Time, and it's all eclipses and transits from creation PDF. Anyways, this one, these are all PDFs that you can right-click and download, but this one actually was written in the late 1800s as well. Late 1800s. But these two are related to the topics that we're talking about. The Computation of 666 and All Time Past. So is Number in Scripture by Bollinger and some of these other ones here. But anyways, also there's this, I got some book recommendations here. I had one a long time ago, but I rebuilt a new one. And I'm going to put some more stuff on here. But I tried to get some of the relevant ones to what we're studying right now. One's called The Antichrist. It's by Arthur W. Pink. He explains how the Antichrist is the ultimate seed of the serpent. It's a fascinating study. Hey, I don't agree with all of these things, everything in every one of these books, but I have them up here because I recommend them for further study. Sargon the Magnificent, we've talked about that, how Cain founded paganism worldwide. Now, here are some other ones by Bonnie Gant. These ones are just amazing. The Bible's Awesome Number Code. If you want to learn biblical numerics, get her books. Jesus Christ, The Number of His Name is another one by Bonnie Gant. Beginnings, showing the pyramid there, some astronomy and stuff like that, Stonehenge. And then Number in Scripture by Bollinger. Witness of the Stars, Apocalypse. This is a good one. Another one by Bonnie Gant. She goes over the number 7 in the book of Revelation. Biblical Mathematics. This is a good one. Then I'll go to the next here. Cosmic Codes, Hidden Messages from the Edge of Eternity by Chuck Missler. This is an in-depth study of acrostics and many other hidden codes in the Bible. I don't agree with everything in it, but there are some really neat things in there. This one's really cool. Though the author does not take the view of the serpent seed starting in the Garden of Eden, he's got many things that are pretty interesting in connection with those of us who understand the serpent seed. But it's called Corrupting the Image, and explains how the Antichrist will be the seed of the serpent. Just like Christ was the seed of the woman, the Antichrist will be the seed of the serpent. That's one that a lot of people have a lot of trouble with. And it's, you know, whatever, I guess. Genesis 1, The Sacred Code of Creation by Bonnie Gant. Okay, Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Did I have that on there twice? I might have. I'll have to go back and check. But anyways, there's more stuff. I'm going to go to this other section called Teaching Aids and Homeschooling. This here, I wish I had a bigger picture, but I had one on Facebook. This one has the zodiac on a clock. And I was thinking about this. I wanted to teach my children about the 12 signs and the movement of the sun throughout it each year and then for the great year and other time periods as well in the Bible. But, you know, we always have just digital clocks in our house. So I didn't have one. I didn't have an hour hand clock like this. And I thought, well, I should get one just so that I can teach them biblical time. Well, I had no idea that they actually had one that had the zodiac around it as well. Perfect teaching aid for your children. I haven't received it yet. I ordered it just several days ago. I can't wait to get that. We're going to hang that up in our classroom for our kids there to learn from. All right. So, and then you go back. Here is these round ball magnets. And those are cool. We got those for our classroom too. And in Revelation 13, verse 18, we were told to make calculations using round pebbles. These magnet balls make an excellent hands-on way to teach people biblical math and astronomy and stuff. I got cut off there. But anyways, a lot of free books here. We're going to keep adding to it. Hopefully we'll find, I got some more free PDFs that I plan to load up here of some rare books that are out of print that teach some very profound truths that aren't often discussed these days anymore. So anyways, do like what Christ said and when he was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 4, actually, I believe it was. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it, consume it, digest it, meditate upon it every single day, so that you can be a Christian overcomer.